Okay, hey, this is the Bachelor Masters. We're here to talk about this cluster F of an episode where Bad Beard Blake, as we all know, gets Katie in the end as his cherished loved one.
When you're so heartbroken that you rewrite your feelings and history, and you like press really hard to make it all go away. That's how I took Katie.
That's amore.
Yeah, that's not real. That's not a lasting thing.
Well, they're going to stay together. They're going to stay together forever.
Exactly. They could. And
because
we could
it's us versus them.
No, I don't think that's why, but go ahead.
That's why I think it's why. Because they have a common enemy, the public, rooting against them. Way. So they're going to stay together just to spite all of us.
Okay, so Caitlin watches it 3 hours ahead of us. She's on the East Coast, we're on the West Coast. Caitlin, how could you have been so surprised at what happened? Because I feel like we've been postulating since day one, episode one. Everyone go back and check.
No, hold on.
What happened?
Before you answer that, Caitlin, let's set this up a little bit. So you watched it 3 hours ahead of me and EZR. And you texted us how surprised you were that, you know, what was going to happened. We didn't know what was going to happen, but you didn't
spoil it.
Spoil it for us. But now we know it's that Katie says, "I love you," to Blake. So EZR is now asking you, why were you surprised? But whatever you answer is going to be my answer, because I was shocked. I was so shocked that Katie said, "I loved you," to Blake.
How?
That I was speechless. I was without speech.
So, yeah,
that's
I
not
was
even what Caitlin
y'all.
Was. Yeah, but I don't think that's what you were so shocked at, right? You were not shocked at the I love yous. You were shocked at the Greg thing.
I was not even so much the Greg thing. I think it was more. So, yeah, when I texted y'all, I was very specific not to spoil any plot points, but to just say things like, you know, you won't believe that they can actually make this last 3 hours, but it does, you know, like that kind of stuff. I think what made it so wild and shocking to me was not how, like, Katie's story ends with her with Blake, which makes sense to me in a lot of ways, actually. More the fact that I felt like the editors really dropped the ball with this, right? That, like, we were being sold a story this whole time that, you know, you could obviously tell that she liked Blake a lot. He was top two, you know, I guess maybe top three, depending on how you're thinking. But he was up there in the list. But we were being sold that, like, Greg was the love of her life, basically, right? And then he leaves, and it's this whole big dramatic thing. And I feel like if they want us to believe in this love story, which usually they do want us to believe in the love story of the lead, right? That, like, they could have shown us different things. They could have put more emphasis on Blake than on Greg this whole time. They could have made this make more sense, and they just, like, chose not to. So it's confusing in that sense to me. It felt like they were trying to make Greg look good in certain ways, right? For some unknown reason, I don't know, I was texting with, you know, Bachelor Master super fan Jocelyn, and she was like, "Listen, if they try to make Greg the Bachelor, I am not watching that season."
There's no way Greg is going to be the Bachelor. Sorry, Jocelyn.
No, I mean, I think it's more, for some reason, they did seem to be trying to make us be, like, really into Greg. But I don't know why that's a thing that they wanted the audience to be invested in. Like, that's confusing to me to begin with. So that's one confusing part. Two was that, like, the order that things happened in was also confusing. Like, we could have had Justin go first, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that was also a little weird. Everything about this was super weird. So basically, they're like, okay, you open it up, we all know that Blake is winning within like a half an hour to 45 minutes into this show. It's a 3 hour long show. So then they fill the rest of the time with this weird stuff. Like, and this incredibly long Greg confrontation that I was like, I didn't need to see this at all. We could have just like not had Greg and I would have enjoyed this show probably more.
What?
So you're,
that's the point of the show. If I don't get my very traumatic inducing drama, then I am out of this show completely. Like, there's no point to the show. No one wants a straight love story.
Do you know Greg has, they're called Grippo girls, and they're like Greg super fans. You think that Greg has never done anything wrong in his life, and Katie is a horrible woman who's traumatized him.
Oh, these people are out of their minds. He is totally a manipulator, but I am still part of that group, right?
You're a Grippo girl?
I was since day one, but he is a sociopath. I mean, he wishes he was. He wishes he was smart
he's
enough.
He's a low-key sociopath.
Yeah. He wishes he was Meryl Streep, but he's not.
Oh, jeez, Lord. Okay, wait. Let's get to Greg. Let's get Justin out of the way. Poor Justin.
Wait, hold on. I thought we were going in order.
This is order. This is order of cuts.
Katie tells Blake she loves him first.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Justin, I mean, technically, but Justin has much less material. Maybe let's just talk about Justin first, because I guess justice for Justin in that.
There's no justice for Justin.
Listen, he was like barely in this show and he technically finished number two. So I do feel bad for him on that sense, right?
He totally sucks. He has no personality.
They didn't let him have one, but I bet he does.
That is true. He has good facial expressions. He's always nailed those, which are enjoyable.
You want to talk about being manipulative. Being manipulative is when he's sitting up on the couch saying, well, I don't know, I have facial expressions. I've been told I'm expressive.
I don't know what you're talking about. He has no like ill intentions in my eyes. The only problem was that it wasn't a heart-wrenching breakup. I hate when they do that. That's what they did with Katie and Matt James. Right. Like, oh, your breakup so that we can sell you as the Bachelorette. And there was no there with Justin. I mean, he reminded me, Craig, from that, like, the dead-end storyline of Paul from Gilmore Girls reboot. Just kind of like, oh, this is so funny that we're cutting him so that it's not funny and it's not interesting. Their relationship wasn't, but I do like Justin. So,
why they cut him so quickly. They're like, get out of here. We're gonna move on to more important.
Yeah,
things.
It was like I said, it was like a number 11 cut that made it to number two. It's amazing. I think it's a Phoenix Rising story.
That's amazing. Compared to Katie's aunt and mother, this is a non-story. I can't believe we're even talking about
well,
this.
Well, we have to because he's the final two.
Who cares? Yeah.
He okay. Technically we finished are done. Second, Craig.
No, we are. Like, we're missing the point here that Katie telling Blake that she loved him was the most baffling thing I've seen in television in a very long time.
I can't believe
that
Lindsay, who's Katie's aunt, is a terrible person who doesn't deserve her 15 minutes of fame.
I agree with you there.
Okay. Blake gets more disgusting every time we see him.
Okay, so Craig, we have to decide Blake or Greg first, because I want full dissections on both and I don't want to jump around. So pick your man.
We're going with Blake.
Okay, Blake first. I am ready. Here, okay. The most baffling I love yous to you. Caitlin, you agree?
I do not agree. I will say I was a little surprised.
You were a little surprised?
All right, listen, Craig.
You want me to pull up the text messages?
Listen, what I said to you did not explicitly reference that Katie told Blake she loved him. What was surprising to me, well, about this whole thing, right, is that, like, first of all, you know, it opens up and she's, like, heartbroken in bed, and then the two men are told that they're going to get to spend quality time with Katie despite the fact that she is, like, broken inside as a person. which is already a weird setup, right?
Yeah.
They were like, woohoo, we're number two. Yeah, it was like, number two.
Unusual, but okay. And then she has the date with Blake, and it seems like it's going well, right? Like, they're laughing and stuff. It seems like they're having a good time. But I was not fully expecting... I think what happened here in the I love you conversation, right, is that he'd been meaning to pull this out. He wanted to do it now. He'd been saving it up, right? That, like, right. He'd been saving it basically for, like, the fantasy suites sort of situation.
Bachelor rules.
Yes.
Those are Middle America rules.
Into, you know, we're not in love yet, but we're going to get there. And he was like, so he's ready to say it. The situation is weird because he's just been like she dumps the whole thing on him where she's like, Michael left and then Greg left.
Yeah.
And I was crying.
And his response was, that's a lot, you know.
You know you really like someone when you want to talk about the other guy with him.
Yes. Like,
no.
It's kind of weird.
That was classic. Like, if you can't stop talking about the other guy... Oh my gosh, that is...
Well, to be fair...
If you were Blake, you'd be like...
Katie kind of compartmentalized it. She said, okay, now we're going to talk about Greg for a second.
Yeah.
To her credit.
I think that was like a I can't stop thinking about him thing.
Oh, I think it's both, but it made sense to me in that, like, I could very much see the pitch of her saying, like, listen, I'm just going to tell him exactly what's going on here because otherwise it's going to be weird. You know what I mean? To be like... I'm depressed, but I'm going to pretend I'm not, you know, so I felt like it did make a certain amount of sense to be like, well, let me just tell you, like, why I'm feeling down, because, like, this situation happened, and, like, Blake's voiceover stuff is about how he miscalculated how much that she cared about Greg, apparently, which was interesting to me, that part.
Oh, I think that he is just so smart that he does not appear to take it personally or pretends not to have noticed.
Yeah.
I think that is so smart on his part, because what is required there is patience, and that's what he's doing. He's being patient, and he's, like, lurking. That is like, genius move.
So yeah. He does this kind of perfectly, I think, right? That, like, he listens to her. He doesn't give the greatest response in listening to her. But I also think it kind of makes sense that, like, he basically is like, that's a lot. Let's make out. And it's
exactly. That's a lot, you know, make out.
That's actually a good move, because he's like, all right, cool. You told me this stuff, but let's not dwell on it. Let's just, like, make out instead so that we can, like, move forward from the thing you just told me about.
Yeah. If any real guy did that, we get slapped. Why are you making me?
No. But
real world would be a weirder move.
But that's the thing. He does it with a lot of patience. She tells him that in the beginning part of the day, and then towards the end, he lets her like verbal vomit, and then he's like, "Well, let's just move on." He is so. I don't want to call it calculating, but it is. Like a pro move, honestly. So then they go on to right before the fantasy suite, and here is that.
I love you, and I'm really excited about life with you.
Wow. I'm like, I'm speechless.
Is that you, Craig?
Because... You know, as you're talking about love and sharing it.
Turn it off. I can't listen to this a second time. I'm going to be speechless again. I'm literally going to be without speech if you play that again.
We want to hear it again, because I feel like he does a pretty good job in his delivery here, right? Like, first I thought he was rambling a little bit because he talks about how, like, he had a hard time saying I love you to his dad or whatever. Right. And I was kind of like, all right, I guess. I'm not sure why this is in your speech. But when he does finally deliver it, he does it really well in that, like, when he talks about that moment where they're playing hockey and he says that's the moment he felt it.
He span around and said, go America. And I was like, I love this girl.
Yes.
Who wants to hear that? I love this girl.
Listen, I thought it worked as a story, and it also works because he's Canadian and they were playing hockey. And if there's anything that's going to get a Canadian man to fall in love with you, it is playing street hockey with them and celebrating. Like, yeah, that's simply how it works.
But he never said, I love you. He said, I love this girl.
And I don't know how that's different.
And then Katie, she's like, oh my God, like, oh my God, like.
All right, well, let's hear what she actually says.
There was a moment where I thought she wasn't going to say it. I thought she was going to say, sorry, it's over. I'm done. But then she just, her facial expressions.
You cannot read women at all. She was like, her face was like, oh my God, I get to stop dwelling on Greg and like move the hell on because I need something to get me over this like massive heartache.
You know, I'm relating. I'm like, yes, yes. I haven't said it to anybody. I wanted to hold that close. I wanted to wait for that special person because it is a big deal. It's a huge word.
Whatever.
And as much... as I want to be stubborn.
Stubborn.
And just like you, it's scary and it's just crazy. But I love you so much. I couldn't be happier that you're here.
God. No. She couldn't just say, I love you. She said, I love you so much.
Effing love you so much. Yeah.
You missed the cursing, Craig, which is integral to their love story.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
Easier.
Yeah.
How many guys have you said I love you to?
I don't know.
Like what percentage of...
Here's where I shut down because I don't understand the question.
Okay, say you've dated 20 guys. I don't know how many guys you dated. What percentage of guys do you say I love you to?
2 to 5% of...
That's it?
Yeah.
Holy shit. I must be...
Okay, that sounds like I care a lot. I actually don't care a lot. Like, it's the opposite of what you think.
Huh. Yeah, so, I actually am very similar to EZR in this way that, like, I do not say I love you to most people I date.
Whoa.
And also, I am in no rush to ever say it to anyone, basically. Like, my last ex said it, like, 5 months in, I think. And he said he'd been holding out for a while because he wanted me to say it first. And I was like, you'd die if you waited for me to say it first. Because
You two were like Seinfeld or something.
Craig says it after the first date to like try to get in to the apartment.
It's a strategic move to say I love you.
Exactly.
Listen, yours... I don't have a home. I'm in love with you. Can I just go?
Yeah. Yours is futile. Like,
my lease is running out in 3 months. I love you.
And I'm sort of like, listen, I don't need to say it to people. You know what I mean? Like, I say it to my family and friends all the time. But in a romantic situation, it's not like, to me, I'm not like waiting for a special moment or anything. I'm just like, I don't feel like it's both like big deal and not a big deal at the same time, if that makes sense. And I'm like, I don't need to say it to everyone. And I would only say it if I'm like, I'm suddenly feeling that. I'm not going to make a huge... like, right. I need to tell you that I'm in love with you kind of speech, you know?
What is your, what are you trying to prove to us, Craig?
I'm not quite sure. It's just,
oh, okay.
It's just 2 to 5%. That's so low.
You know what? I think it's, maybe it's shows like this, or maybe it's movies like this, or maybe it's culture like this, but I think it sounds stupid, honestly. I have like a huge, like ick factor related to it. I don't think it's genuine or sincere anymore. I think acts of service, as says my test results.
Yes, acts of service.
Uh-huh. So
I love language.
Yes. So I have a lot of like whatevers going on. Like, I have a case of the whatevers.
All right. What is easier? Have you ever gotten the, you know, when somebody tells you they're in love with you and you absolutely do not want to say it back to them? And what is the thing you say instead? Because that is really uncomfortable to figure out.
Thank you.
Yeah, the response when it is not I love you back is so uncomfortable to, like, navigate. You know what I mean? just because anything you say sounds weird at that point, you know. It's like you could pull a Katie and be like, I love looking at you.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you are without speech, and in these 2 days that have passed, you have not gathered, you're still impressed. You're still flabbergasted.
Yeah, I just can't believe that she fell in love with Bad Beard Blake.
She Craig, I think if we've made anything clear this whole season on this podcast is that she is in rebound mode. She broke her rules because she is scared of the same thing happening to her again. She doesn't want to end up alone.
Yes, exactly.
There is no like anything to be shocked by. This is classic behavior. This is not, there's no like, this is textbook. There is no out of the box behavior here. Like, right, I don't know why you're shocked.
That's a good point.
I was more shocked at like the timing within the show of this happening. You know what I mean? That it happened so early into the 3 hour episode that we saw this.
Oh, you mean the episode itself? Because the timing in the show makes perfect sense. The day after Greg leaves her, because supposedly she wasn't real with him. I don't want to justify his dumbass like explanation. and she's trying to compensate for that.
Yeah, okay. I thought that they would put more time in, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know it would be so obvious into the 3 hour finale that like less than a third of the way through it would be like, well, we know who wins the show. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't think that's how they would do that timing. So that part was shocking to me. But I agree with you that once he said it, I was not surprised she said it back, because in her head, you know, she's thinking of the last time she liked a guy and he said he loved her and she didn't respond exactly the way he wanted her to. He like stormed out and left. Right?
Right.
So now she's worried if she doesn't tell Blake that she's in love with him too, he's also going to leave.
Right.
But I think she likes him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's like totally fake or anything. I think she's just like in her head, she's like, if I feel it even a fraction, I say it. You know what I mean?
But couldn't she have come to that conclusion when she was talking to Greg?
Like, no, she's in her heart and her head, like probably physically hurt from being dumped by the guy of her dreams. And so anything that would make her feel better, especially saying I love you to someone.
I get that. But my question is, couldn't she have gone through this thought process of I need to say I love you to keep the guy? Couldn't she have done that while she was still talking to Greg?
There's a couple of things there. Like,
when would that have happened?
I don't know. When she chased after him in the stairwell or something?
No, it's too late. That sounds... I know in a woman's brain, that is a desperate move you do not pull. You try to see if they're willing to stay. And if they're not, you know, like you have to be let that chance. And that's not happening there.
I think we're going to get in this way more when we get to the Katie and Greg confrontation, because they do specifically talk about... He says, you know what you could have said to keep me there. And she says it's like an ultimatum. Basically, I think what she's thinking in that moment, right, is his thought process is if she says she says I love you to Greg, he will stay. But in her head, him already planning to leave means like, you know what I mean, like if she says it now, if he still leaves, it's going to make her look and feel worse. So you don't want to say it when you're chasing after him. Like, it just is like so demeaning to yourself. You know what I mean?
And Greg set her up for a no-win situation. That's not true what he said. She could not have said that and he would have stayed. She could not have chased after him and he would have come back. He's lying.
He made up his mind already. Before he went into that hotel room, he knew he was leaving. There was nothing she could have said to keep him then.
Yeah, and saying things like that are detrimental, because then things like this happen, right? Katie ends up with Blake. There's a lot that's okay with it, but there's a lot wrong. So I don't feel like you do, Craig, because I think when they saw each other, there was this baseline, like we said, animal rawr, like, you know, they wanted to have sex with each other.
Yeah.
That could be long. They could have like some legs, but it's like
I would not be surprised if they last at least a little bit of time because of the fact that she so clearly had like that physical chemistry with him that even though it grosses Craig out, we all saw she wanted to bond.
It didn't gross me out. It also grossed Caitlin out, the host of the show. Remember they're sitting on the couch?
No.
You don't remember this?
Okay. No. What did she do?
The next morning she was sitting down with Caitlin and she's like, oh, yeah, we had, you know, she says she did it multiple times with him. She's like, oh, I was satisfied multiple times. And it was the best day of my life. And Caitlin goes, best day of your life, and spits out her drink.
Oh, that, don't take that the way, I don't know what that means. Yeah, anyway.
I think it was hyperbole. But yeah, I think they had, she so clearly wanted to bone Blake. You know, they laugh at each other's jokes and shit. I could see this working as a relationship simply because they do seem like they have similar senses of humor. They're both kind of like horny nerds. It's a weird way to get into it because of the Greg stuff, but I mean, it might work.
No, well, I think it's totally going to work. Absolutely going to work because, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, it's them versus us. So they have a common enemy.
Craig, I am going to not only defend their relationship, which is everything you guys just said, totally, yes, but except for that common enemy thing, because I don't think they don't feel that them against us. They feel support. I feel. But okay. I am going to defend Blake as a person.
Ew.
Yeah, that's right. I have turned a corner, and I'll tell you why. Okay, before we get into that, though, Katie's aunt, you're right, is like a total, I mean, like, I do not like using the word be anymore. I never really have. I think it's stupid whether you use it positively or negatively.
Yeah,
but
we don't
say
the B word on this podcast.
She is, she almost sounded jealous to me. And yes. I doubt she is married.
She was wearing a ring on her left index.
Yeah,
ring
to God.
Finger.
No, this is not real.
It's
divorced. That's my guess.
For sure. It's so hard to come across as an asshole on reality TV unless you're a villain and she wasn't portrayed to be. So she is like a straight up asshole. And I did not see anything tough or empowering about what she said. So here's a clip of all the things that I was like, oh my.
Like, is this a super cut?
Yeah, I have to.
I mean, he seems like a nice guy, but when it comes down to the brass tacks, is Blake strong enough to handle all that is female in our family? So what made you want to go on this season after you flunked out of the last
one? Yeah, flunked.
So nice.
Let's say marriage gets hard, which I don't care who you are, it gets hard.
Yeah.
What's your plan? Like, how are you going to fix that? Yeah, that's not how it works.
No.
Like, I mean, cute, but I mean, ultimately, that's not how anything works. You two have a vibrator?
No,
like, what does
no,
that mean?
Like,
you ultimately mean nothing. Like,
yeah.
Hate to break it to you, but like, you better be secure. As
why would you say that?
Coming into our family. Because at the end of the day, you're here because we want you here, not because we need you here.
Right.
That's what we want to do. We want to figure it out. You just said if you need to go to Canada, you will. If you need to go to Africa, you will. Like, it just sounds like a lot of, oh, yes, yes, sir.
Okay, it's over.
That's enough.
But jeez. I don't know whether gender dynamics have a lot to do there. Craig, maybe you can answer that better. But I don't care who said that. I don't care who you are. I am not going to sit there and tell you, you know, then it becomes so aggressive that I would turn it around on you and be like, are you happily married? Did you figure it out? Because
no,
not
so
many people do.
On Vanderpump Rules, they did this spinoff few episodes called Jax and Brittany Do Kentucky, where they visit Kentucky, which is where Brittany's from.
You made me watch that. It was bad.
Yeah. And all of her friends are constantly on Jack's case. Like, do you know, are you going to be a good husband to Brittany? Like, do you know what it takes to be a good husband? And after episode of him getting all this beef from all of these friends of Brittany and family members. Finally, Jax loses it and says, "You all are fucking divorced with three kids. You're telling me what it's like to be married?"
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing.
I mean, it is not tough or empowering or women, you know, rule this. This is a matriarchy type talk. That is not this. This was rude. And like I said, if I was there, I would physically become hot. I would be angry.
I would have left. If that. I were Blake, I'd be like, and Blake actually kind of considers it. That's when he starts to have doubts, is after his conversation with her.
He has doubts weirdly.
Imagine being like, oh, I'm going to propose to her. So in your mindset, you're thinking, this is your potential in-laws.
Right.
And they just said, well, to be fair, her mom was nicer to him than her aunt was.
Yeah.
But the aunt said, you ultimately mean nothing.
Yeah,
and it's just kind of like, I did say I mentally laughed quite a bit imagining how Greg would have reacted to Aunt Lindsay saying these things to him.
Oh yeah, no, he would have curled
into a little ball and like rolled out of the room crying is what I assume would have happened.
I feel like it would have been perfect. That would have been his out. He could have really blamed it on Katie and his.
It would have made sense at that point to be like, I literally could not marry you because your family is so mean that like.
Could you imagine? That'd be awesome.
Oh yeah, no. See, then we'd be confused. Then we'd be like, oh my god, like who knows? You know who's right and wrong about this whole thing? But Greg, being Greg, you know, couldn't figure it out. Okay, so Craig, I am going to defend Blake the person. This little conversation where he did not lose it, like I feel most people would, and maybe I'm a hothead, I am, but I could not have stood through most of that despite cameras rolling. This to me proves is like resilience. This is the first time that I've respected and actually liked Blake, because anyone who has the stronger,
who's more the patient, character on Arthur that you think he looks like?
I think his name is Blinky.
Yeah.
Oh, Binky Barnes.
Okay. Binky.
Yeah. Binky Barnes.
What about?
Just picture him in your mind and then tell me again that you have respect for Blake.
Yes. Could you have done that? Could you sit through someone? I don't care what the situation is. Not romantically linked.
Yes, I could have sat through
that. You could sit through that. You could sit through someone telling you that's cute, but you don't know anything about life, basically.
Well, in the circumstances, yeah, I could have bit my tongue.
And someone said, really? Like, that sounded like it went on. I mean, that was 3 minutes. Times that by.
I mean, she was awful and horrible, and she's a really dumb, awful person. But she didn't say anything, like, directed at him specifically, like,
She said things that were specifically about him, like the thing about him flunking out of the Bachelorette before.
Well, that's true, though.
It is true, and it's kind of funny, but the thing is, she didn't mean it as a joke. You know what I mean?
She could have said, hey, you look like Binky from Arthur. If she'd said that, then I think
she called him Beard. Like, you know, the way you would.
Talking to Katie about him, what makes you want the beard? You know, honestly, what it reads to me like, first of all, if I were in Blake's shoes, Katie did say that her Aunt Lindsay was cold and a tough cookie, but I would have wanted an even more explicit warning about this. You know what I mean? Okay. I would have wanted it to be like, listen, you're going to meet my mom and aunt. My aunt is literally a mean person.
Like, he's literally psychopathic.
Well, yeah, she will be mean to you. This is simply how she is. I'm very sorry. But, you know, like, I would have wanted something like that. As a person who has, like, I do not introduce a lot of people I date to my family because they are complicated in a lot of ways. right, but nobody in my family would be mean to somebody I'm dating the way that Aunt Lindsay was mean, right, like that. Right. And I would, and I still would have warned the person in advance to be like, listen, they're a little crazy, like shit is going to be weird in there, you know. But yeah, I would have wanted an even stronger warning if I were him. I would have been like, Katie, you really should have said, like, your aunt, I think, hates men in general and doesn't want you to get married at all.
Well, right. So they're trying to pass it off as like some kind of girl power thing. And the way Katie nodded along angrily to her mom saying whatever dumb shit, you know, like, suppose it. And I'm saying suppose it because that's my problem here, is that they're trying to pass it off as some matriarchal, like you know, this is our female space family, and that doesn't feel true, you know. It feels like they're just domineering and rude. That's different. so he handled it like a champ, not knowing that.
Well, right? His way of handling it like a champ was just to sit there and take it.
She said no, and he's like, yeah, you're right, but, you know, like, he's trying to navigate the waters.
To his not credit, he was trying to get a word in, but he couldn't get a word in. If he had gotten a word in, he might have said something.
I don't think so. He was trying
to come up with a comeback. He couldn't get the words out because she kept interrupting him.
Even to the cameras, he was like, she's tough, but you know what? That's normal. Like, I would not have said that. I would have been like, fuck this. I'm at it. Like, you know, I would not have said that. So good for him. He obviously somehow has a lot of restraint despite being a sex maniac. Like, I'm so confused by his life. But anyway.
His family seems so much more normal than Katie's when we met them, right? And they didn't seem the most normal family you've ever seen on TV. But when you compare it, you're like, wow, what a healthy, nice family Blake comes from compared to what Katie's coming from. And I wonder if this is making me think back to the conversation Katie had with Justin on their one-on-one date several episodes ago with, you know, her dad died, which we all knew. And then she told Justin that it actually was not her biological dad who died. Her bio dad is alive and wants a relationship with her. And I'm wondering if some of this, like, sort of incredibly antagonistic energy towards men has something to do with Katie's bio dad and that whole situation.
Well, yeah, that would come from the mom, though, not from the
sister. It would, and the mom was easier on him, right? Like, she was still a little, like... But she broke down after talking to him for a little bit and was like, all right, now I approve of Blake. It just took like a conversation. Yeah. I mean, it could also be like the aunt is more protective of her sister's weird shit. And she's also probably projecting her own. I mean, the thing she was saying, it absolutely sounded like she had been through a bad divorce and is probably really projecting a lot of like that kind of stuff onto everyone.
Yeah, that's her problem. Like,
it's absolutely her problem. Your niece shouldn't get married because you had a really bad marriage. You know, cautious about shit, you know, but like instead she's much more like, listen, marriage is bad no matter what, no matter who it is. Also, this guy is horrible. I hate him.
Yeah. I mean, who gives the aunt any like jurisdiction in this whole thing?
Well, okay. Number two reason why I now got to give it to Blake, and I think he's a secret genius, and I like him as a person now, kind of, not a little bit more. And this is humongous. This is my number one reason. Number one in the world, Craig. And I feel like if all men did this, the world would be better.
Uh-huh.
They would have better relationships and they would treat women better.
Uh-huh.
He gets subtlety. And he knows when to tell her the things she wants to hear. Her whole, when they were doing the burning of their fears, that was her softball pitch of like, oh, give me all the ego, you know, right, stroke my ego. And he knows exactly when to play it, how to play it. It is amazing. Like, he's one of the only men I've seen get it, get when to say the right thing. That is, like, impossible for men.
Play the clip.
Okay.
I want to let go of the uncertainty of what's to come, the fear of abandonment, the fear.
So he can say, well, I'm just going to pause it for a second, but I love the fear of abandonment. So he can go, right. Oh, honey, I would never leave you. Like, those are just softball. Yeah. And most men wouldn't say that.
Never going to leave you.
Yeah.
Fear of being unaccepted. I fear that I'm not pretty enough. I fear that I'm not good enough for Blake.
So easy.
I fear being alone. I fear heartbreak.
Well, hold on.
I fear
pause
losing
it.
You.
I thought he went first.
I don't remember. But the point is that she's setting him up, and I'm sure he...
Hold on. It does matter. It matters because I thought he went first. Not to say he didn't say the things you're saying he said, but he didn't respond to what she said because she went second.
Well, I'm sure he responded eventually because he always confirms her feelings. Like, he always makes it work. He always figures it out and knows what to say. Okay.
When she said, I worry I'm not pretty enough for Blake.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Craig, I get your point, what? But this is a thing, like, especially on TV, I think. Like, Katie is very pretty, but she's very normal next door girl pretty. Yeah. And so I feel like in this environment, I could absolutely see being like, you know, having this internalized, you're not pretty enough kind of thing, even though we all have eyes and can see that she is absolutely pretty enough for Blake. Like, that's not the issue here at all. But I agree with VR because it's before Zozobra and the family stuff. I think it's at some point during their date, their fantasy suite thing. It might be in the fantasy suite. I can't remember when he does this. But he says at some point, after she's told him the story of what went down with Greg, he says, I would never tell you I love you and then leave you the next day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he knew exactly what was making her feel that bad and how to fix the problem, right? That he was like, he correctly diagnosed that her fear of abandonment stuff was coming out of somebody said they loved her. They got one small thing that they were like, it didn't go exactly how they planned. They freaked out. They left. And he was like, I'm going to be right with her and say, like, I would never do that kind of thing to you. I'm not that person. I'm not Greg.
Well, the thing is, she, as women do, she spelled it out and he goes, oh yeah. Okay. You know, it's not like she dropped hints.
Yeah.
It's like, she's totally telling him and he's going, oh, okay, you're telling me you're giving me the key and you're solving the puzzle and all I have to do is like press the, you know, button and that is what women do and men still don't want to get it, choose not to get it, I kind of refuse to believe that they're too dumb to get it, but I know that a lot of men do not choose to press the button and Blake is smart enough to do it, like, so smart. Okay, not really,
yay,
but kind of. Okay, number three reason. Why?
Did you write all this down? You did, didn't you?
No, I did, but I'm like thinking of more things because I think he won, and it was. Look, he was kind of, as we've talked about before, he went at this three times, and I think he knew enough about himself to know that he is a good woman reader and could possibly get very far on The Bachelorette. I'm not saying his intentions are nefarious because I really don't think they are. But he is, you know, he is just so, it's just, he knew he would get far. He knew he would be a big star on this show because it's not hard, but men don't do it. I think he hacked The Bachelorette and made his own Bachelor in Paradise. And realistically, on Bachelor in Paradise, I think a lot of people would think like you, Craig, and he could maybe get one or two women interested in him, if not outright laughed at by this in crowd of like Bachelor people, because they're all like in high school, basically, right? He did it. He got three women to be mildly interested in him. Maybe Katie and him are both settling for their third choice, but Katie wants stability and to be flattered, right, and he does that perfectly. And Blake wants sex, you know, four times a day, and he with a six and up, and he's good about picking up on, you know, he's good about picking up on signals. that's it.
Yeah, you know, no, they are together for each other. Yeah.
That doesn't mean it'll last. That just means that it'll work for a little bit.
I think they're going to be together for a long time.
Okay.
Because for the reasons that you just stated.
Yeah. I would
agree with you.
I could see them being one of the couples that lasts for a very long time. Like, you know, a lot of ways that people talk about, like, Zach and Tayshia being a gigantic success, even though technically they haven't been together that long because her season just aired recently. I could see them slotting into a sort of role like that where everyone sees them as a very, like, stable together couple.
Yeah. I do not think that they could last I give it like 50-50, like so much of the Bachelor franchise, because Katie will soon reset, go back to, let's say, her senses. I'm not saying Blake's horrible.
No.
But she could be like, why am I with him? Like, she, it doesn't matter whether it could have happened anyways, or if Greg hadn't gone on, she would have chosen him anyways. She might have to actually reconcile with those feelings someday. I'm just saying
her true colors. To her, stability and flattery are much more important than, you know, anything else. Looks.
Well, that doesn't mean she can't find it with a better looking, more, you know, like another person Bachelor franchise world.
No, she put herself out there for Greg, for the good looking guy in her life. Got burned. She's not gonna go on that route again.
It could. Okay. Well, we'll see. But I think it's possible.
No.
Okay. Ready for Greg? Okay. We'll see.
I'm with co-host Caitlin.
There's no like reason to debate it if it's not possible to predict. You know, it's like you think that. I think this time will.
If anything, she'll break up with Blake and end up with a worse looking guy.
Okay.
To get even more stability.
So possible. I mean, yeah, we won't know for a long time if this actually works or not, right? I'm just saying, as far as couples who have gotten together on these shows go, I feel like they have a better shot than a lot of them to actually make it.
Yeah, like Carly and Evan, who only recently broke up after pumping out a couple kids.
That's a whole different story, I feel, because that was definitely a reboundish situation, and she wanted to have kids, and like, you know, yeah, they're like both in the Bachelor world, they're both low on the scale, so they work together in that way. But I think Carly was like, wait a minute, she thinks she deserves like a way good, better looking, and
well,
more
she
esteemed
wait a
guy.
Minute. She wait a minute did after marriage and what, two kids, so it took her a while.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Things are complicated. Anyway, Greg.
Well, usually it's the guy that makes that decision. Like, I'm going to ditch my wife and go for a better
looking
woman.
No, Evan is not that type. He's a wienermobile. Like,
right, but that's what that's what men get a bad rap for doing, but women do it too. That's all I'm saying.
She's not going with anybody else. I mean, I'm not going to defend Carly. I don't like her, and I think there's a lot wrong with her. She was a bully on her season, but I am... Like she got out of it what she wanted, which was to have kids and to have like a brand.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, okay. I'm ready to talk about Greg. I'm ready to talk about Greg.
EZR has a crush on Greg still.
I mean, if he went on a Lifetime movie, I'd watch it. I think we all would. okay. Oof, so I guess our job here, like always, is to pull the real from the reality TV. And I think that this whole season, since the beginning, I was very, very critical on who Greg was as a person, because I knew who he was. I can tell by his look. But it's so funny because someone like Luke from Hannah B's season, he's not the looks that America loves anymore. So women are like legit on Greg's side. Women, like not just viewers, but it's only because of his puppy dog looks. It is what's wrong. I mean, that's what happened with Katie. She only liked him. She didn't really pay attention to who he was. You know, she looked at him and she was like, oh, this man. And then he gave her the puppy dog thing, and she said it herself, right? She said, "You're not this innocent guy. You're a cool guy from Jersey." And I was like, yep. That's what I thought day one. And I feel like everything she's done since, so I don't know if you guys have seen, but on Instagram, she had a lingerie post.
Yeah.
And yeah, I will bet that she did that for him to say, like, I am good enough. I am hot enough.
Man, you're going to milk this conspiracy all the way down.
Well, you know what? To peg someone from day one, I deserve it because.
So in that case, every post that Katie has ever posted is about no Greg, for Greg.
No. No. Yes and no, but no, but yes. Like lingerie, like posing in lingerie.
Yes and no, but no, that? But yes.
Yeah. Well, there's nuances there, but lingerie. Why?
I can see what you're saying, EZR, in that if you are, so there are a few times when you want to post something really sexy on Instagram as a woman, right? One of them is like you're talking to somebody, but you're not dating yet, and you want them to see it and be like, whoa, hot. You know, like that's one time. Another time is when you want your ex to see you like looking amazing and like having a great time so that they know that like you're doing totally fine and also you're amazing and like you were always better than them all along, you know? Yeah,
no question. But the third time you would post it is when you had these fancy photos taken of you by a certain brand's underwear and you would post it because you make money.
Yes, that's also on the agenda, I would say. But I think it might not be specifically just like, I mean, I don't think she got like a photo shoot done specifically to be like, fuck you, Greg, the whole time. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. But I think that she, when she posted it, it was probably not the first thing in her mind, but I think she was thinking, you know, these episodes are airing on TV that make her look so fragile, and she's being rejected right, left, and center by these men leaving. Mm-hmm. And so a way for her to kind of reassert that she is a desirable, attractive woman who is a good catch is to put something on social media that's like, look, I'm hot. You know?
I had to look it up, and she was not sponsored in that post. Greg.
How do you know?
Greg. Because I just looked it up. Okay, well, if it is, then it's a hidden sponsorship, which is the opposite of being sponsored.
there was no swipe up.
There was no. I mean, it's a post. It's not a story. Mm. And there was no tagging of the lingerie company, or any other way. But I say this because I feel like it was for that. Okay. Greg, you, and also, you know, you don't get that angry if you don't feel so betrayed.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know what her and her publicist talked about.
Because what?
Oh, I was just going to say, because, you know, the publicist must know that Katie was really tempered and ready to go after Greg, and she must have thought to tell Katie to cool her jets a little bit, or she's going to come across really poorly. I think the consensus is that Katie came across poorly.
Really? Because I feel like she came across as I feel like she came across, even if it was, anyone could see it as coming across badly, or I feel like she was so raw that it doesn't feel in any way like unwarranted. Greg, okay, I feel, wanted to make it a no hard feelings thing, right? The way a lot of bachelor couples that have broken up can kind of reconcile on After the Final Rose. But she wasn't having it. And she said what we've said, and you know, my confusion lies. No, it's not true. I'm not confused. He's still sticking to a story, again, like things we've said before, because he's not smart enough to come up with a new one on the spot. And he's also doing the flip the script thing where he's accusing her of playing a role when that's what he was doing. You know, he was saying, you were the bachelorette and you know, you acted like the bachelorette, so I couldn't get through to you. But that's what he was doing. He was playing a role of the shy guy, not confident dude who doesn't know he's a 10, like, you know. And I can't believe, whatever. I get to decide what I think. I can't.
No. We've been over this. The point system is objective.
No, you do not get to look, Craig, when Mike Hanna and Peter, Pilot Peter's Hannah came on and you said, well, you didn't quite say it, but you meant it. Tens, I did not dispute it because I'm not going to argue about who's what when you're the cishet man. So I say 10. But I can't believe the audience is buying what he is selling. Like it. And I think it's one of these. So, Caitlin, like when you say that, you know, oh, the editors couldn't figure out like the storyline. I think he purposefully muddies the waters to make people be on both sides of it. Like, I think they're trying to give him a like supposedly even or justified cut where he kind of, you know, he was struggling. But what we're doing here is we're trying to pull apart the fact that I feel like he was acting. Katie feels, more importantly, Katie, who was there, feels like he was acting. And that he's not good enough to kind of... He doubles down on his lie because he doesn't know how to get out of it at that point. And what I have to come back to here is that on The Bachelor, there are villains that I don't feel are quite villains. The only person that comes to my mind right now is someone like Yosef from Claire's season. And maybe that's not a good example because I need someone who's a little bit less, you know, who doesn't try to get in the last word. But with them, they have no problem painting them as villains. But with Greg, they want to make it very gray. Like, you know, everyone has their side. And to me, it's so obvious that he's lying and he's an opportunist and he's acting and he was trying to get out of it and pretend like he was not as, you know, coherent as he should have been and that, you know, it's bygones and all this stuff. I don't know. So I guess here is one thing that happened where the audience kind of took his side, which was very, very like frustrating and annoying to me. Is that Craig found a little tear again in the fabric and mm-hmm. just ripped it open, right? Because when he gets the upper hand, he really goes for it. And that's how you know he's acting because he gets more confident. He gets less vocal fry.
I was telling me, I shouldn't have asked the woman that I'm going to possibly marry how they feel. You should be able to want to tell me that. I shouldn't have to ask that.
But I told you week after week.
A relationship is a two-way street.
Here's where he turns.
And yes, I know you're the bachelorette, but still, that doesn't put you any higher in this relationship and me any lower. I emptied my heart out to you. I emptied my heart out to you on that couch, and all I got was just a pat on the back after it. I just wanted something real at the end of the day.
Caitlin, no,
because he does not want anything real at the end of the day. Like, this is, Greg is a prime example of how men who are attractive get away with anything, right? Like, this is why he has the Grippo girls, his big fans, is that, like, he could say or do pretty much anything, and because they find him hot enough, they'll excuse the behavior. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those kind of situations. But, yeah, I think I found that infuriating that the audience was clapping for that, because Katie was right that she was constantly giving him affirmations the whole time, right? That, like, he would always be like, oh, I'm so unsure about things. And she would always say, you know, how much she wanted him to be there, how it was a big fear of hers for him to leave, you know, like constantly, constantly, constantly telling him that, like, she liked him so much. And so it's very hard to buy that a single conversation would be enough for to completely flip that switch if he didn't want it to be flipped. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like a lot, and this is what I saw in her from Matt James' season that I really liked, was that she does not argue with him about what's obviously a lie. She doesn't say things like, you turned on a dime, why did that happen? Because that's not true. He did not turn on a dime. He had this plan all along. So she says, you're acting. And I think, you know, she's a great advocate for herself, but she's not actually, I guess, woke, or she's not actually interested in understanding more of why, like, you know, social justice issues are important, but she pretends to. She just called bullshit on what he said. Right. And it doesn't translate to other issues. So to, like, wrap up some conversations we had all season long, she does know why things are wrong, but she doesn't apply it to anything else in her, anything else in the world. And I, she won't let him get away with being a douche. Like, that's great to me. So yeah, so he is like a, the number two thing is that, you know, he, it's an act. He knows he knows he's hot, and he is not, and he's pretending because he wants something bigger. I don't know what that is. And I think she's angry. Like, a number two reason she's angry, like a far, far distant reason, is that she's angry because she wishes his face matched his act. And that is very frustrating for
that's
women.
So cute.
No, but it is a frustrating thing for women, because you expect Love Island guys to be Love Island guys. You know, like the hot.
Are you watching this new show?
Yes.
Called F Boy Island?
Oh my gosh, I'm loving F Boy Island.
No, I never even heard of it.
Like, so good.
It's on HBO Max.
Oh, I have that. Kind of.
Yeah, you should watch the VCR. It's like, it's kind of a blend of something like Bachelorette and like Love Island. Because there's three women leads, so sort of like three bachelorettes, essentially. And then it starts with 24 men, 12 of whom are classified as F-boys and 12 classified as nice guys, based on the producers deciding, like, some of them are like, no, I'm literally, like, they will also tell the producer that, so they're put down, like, in the log as, like, this thing. But also, depending on the stories that they told the producers during casting, the producers decide, like, they slot into one of two categories. And, like, the women go on dates with people and stuff, and they eliminate three men every episode. And the goal, I guess, is to get down to, like, get rid of all the F-boys, but also find, like, the three nice guys who match up well with the women.
The only, right, that sounds awesome, except that the only inherent problem is that you could, that could be your act, that you're, that you are an F-boy, but you're acting like you're not.
Yes. And there's one really good episode where one guy claims when they're eliminated, they have to reveal whether or not they were classified as an F-boy or a nice guy. And one guy is like, I'm a nice guy. And the host was just like, no, you've been classified as an F-boy. And he was like, no, I'm definitely nice. And then they started telling all the stories that were like, when you were dating like five women at the same time, like, you're telling us you're not an F-boy, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I like, okay, so I guess to bring it to like a pop culture place that I have seen is that like 90s movies have really ruined us millennials, or Gen Z, maybe not as much Gen Zers, but definitely millennials and surrounding gens, about what guys look like and how they act. Because he totally has that cute 90s look that wouldn't, that, you know, is forgotten about in high school. He said it himself. He used that same damn story that probably isn't true, right? In The Bachelor, in one of his, like, I was so skinny that no one paid attention to me. Yeah, right, Greg. Like, no. And so,
hey, you were going to say Craig there, weren't you?
Yes. So,
see, are you, it'd be flattering if you were mapping your thoughts on Greg onto me.
No, I'm definitely not. They're just like the, you know, you put two names that sound really similar together. It's very hard for me.
Craig just hears in his head all the time that is like, Craig is a 10. Craig is a handsome man.
I know. I can't go anywhere.
It's more on Craig than it is on me. So, the, come on. Like, you can't tell me this isn't acting, right?
The acting.
I mean, it was pretty good until the end when you kind of f***ed it up and ran away.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Listen, I hate to break it to you. As much as I wish I was, I'm not Meryl Streep.
We know.
I'm no Meryl Streep.
Who picks Meryl Streep?
What an amazing pull. As the actor, like the great actor that Greg is not, he specifically is like Meryl Streep, which is just very funny. As like, I don't know, I legitimately cracked up both at him saying he's not Meryl Streep and then Katie being like, oh, I know you're not.
Yeah, agreed. Anyway, yep. So I don't worry, don't look at what people look like or what they, you know, they. It just, it's so frustrating when I guess both the, you know, looks are that important to everybody. It's amazing. It's super amazing. That's
it.
That's it. Gaslighting, the term itself has evolved, I guess, because she gave a definition that was not the definition, but I'll accept
it. Yeah. We went over this last week.
Yeah. But
there's been a lot of posts on Reddit.
Really?
Yeah, about how gaslighting is getting misused and stuff.
Oh, good. So good. I'm glad for that.
They must be listening to our podcast.
Honestly, the most egregious thing, though, just to wrap it up, because go ahead and go. I don't know if I let you guys talk about Greg. I just wanted to make sure that.
You mean the last 45 minutes we haven't been able to get a word in? Yeah, you're right. I think
you're right. Easier starting a new podcast that's just called Grippo Girls, and it's all about Greg.
He did do something that is egregious. I said it earlier, he accused her of doing, right, he projected. He accused her of doing what he's doing. He said, you have an act going. And I think there's nothing more like that sets you off balance than that. And so he's got the like manipulative sociopathic behaviors. I don't want to say he's got them down, but he knows them and he uses them. And so he's scary. Like, he's not a good dude. But yeah.
Okay. At the end of the day, Leo or Greg?
Oh. We're talking about like an empty shell of a person where like any soul can come in?
No.
I think I've told you this like 20 times. Literally 20 times, Greg. I do not have a crush on Leo. Okay. I thought he was interesting and he is weirdo guy like in real life because I follow
him. Met him. You met him in person.
Yeah, I met him too.
Yeah.
But Greg is a horrible person. Leo is not.
Greg being a horrible person makes him interesting and mysterious.
No, it doesn't. That is weird.
Oh, thanks, God. Caitlin.
Greg, I can see that you've been to art school, I guess.
I have.
Yeah, that's the exact mindset of... I would say, you know, that's probably a mindset I had when I was dating and in undergrad, in which I went to an art school also, or be like, you know, they're so terrible, but isn't that interesting in a way? Or mysterious. Maybe I can change him.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we've wrote the book on Greg. Season's over. We've wrote the book on Katie, and EZR is now a fan of Blake. So, yeah, that's what we have to conclude on. It's been fun.
We do have some fashion if you want to do a quick.
Oh, yeah, let's do fashion. We caught EZR off guard.
Yeah.
This is the Fashion Roundup. Craig wants to talk about what people are wearing.
All right. Can I just say, I do not like dresses that have fake skin colored, like, I guess you call them modesty sections.
Weird, because
called illusion mesh.
Illusion mesh. Yes, that's exactly the phrase I was looking for.
That's what we called it in the figure skating world, where it is very, very common to have either like the illusion mesh of the nude variety, but sometimes you would have it in like black or like red, match the color. That's like a very common. I had so many of those outfits in my competitive skating days. So I don't like, it doesn't set off alarm bells for me automatically, but I didn't love it on. I liked Katie's dress other than that little panel of the illusion mesh.
So I follow the account you follow, Caitlin, where they'll show you where that dress is from or what designer it's from, and it's not in the designer's original dress.
Oh, really?
Which is not a good, like, because it did not look good. It didn't match her skin. It did. It stood out to us, which is bad news, right? That's the whole point. It's not supposed
to. Yeah, but it should be seamless if that's what you're doing. I think what would have happened there is she was worried about like a boob popping out, which is a valid concern. But there are other ways, like they make boob tape, you know, so you can like tape the dress to your body basically to avoid this exact kind of thing, but without having to use the mesh. So I wonder if, like, I don't know, she must have brought it up to somebody on the set, like the stylist she works with or whatever, to be like, I like this, but I'm worried about it, like, blowing open or something like that.
Right.
And the solution they came up with was this mesh thing, when it would have been better to use the tape than it would have been
mesh.
A spray you can use. There's, like, a bunch of options. I think the tape is supposed to be the most secure. I didn't like the illusion mesh part, but the rest of it I thought was a pretty dress.
Wow. So we're all in agreement.
Yes, we're all in agreement. We do need to talk about an outfit on this episode that has really divided the internet, which is what Tayshia wore at the proposal.
The suit dress?
The suit.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what we're talking about, ECR? Really
all over
this
thing.
It's like a black tuxedo, but then it had like holders in the back, like stripes.
Yeah, it's backless in the back with like little like bejeweled strings that sort of connect between the back. And
did
it is like
hate it? It looks fine. I don't know.
Honestly, a real mixture. Some people loved it, some people hated it, but a lot of people are discussing. I mean, I saw people calling it like a magician's outfit. That was a pretty popular take on it. I didn't hate it. I get why some people don't like it, because it did sort of have like a Barnum and Bailey vibe in the front, you know? But I thought it was kind of cute, and she pulled it off. But I mean, like, Tayshia can pull off
pretty much anything she wants to wear.
Just like her face and body are just like, she can put whatever she wants on there, she'll look great, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't find it bad looking, but a lot of people were like, what is this? It looks so bad. What are they doing to her? Blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I thought it was kind of cute overall. It was just a very different look than what Caitlin was wearing next to her. So maybe that's also what made it jarring to people. It's like Caitlin was wearing like a yellow little dress, basically.
Fashion forward.
Yes. So those were the biggest things, I think, from this whole episode clothes-wise. I mean, Katie, again, wore like shapeless t-shirts with jeans on a lot of her
shapeless t-shirts.
That's like her thing. That's what she likes to wear.
This is great. You're coming up with all these great terms, Caitlin. I love illusion mesh. I'm going to use that for wildly inappropriate other contexts.
That's like, you know, just the technical term is like, you know, you put some illusion mesh on there. And that's how that works. It's the same thing with, you don't see this a lot on dresses on shows like The Bachelor or Love Island, but in skating, they also do, you ever see where the mesh comes down to a V point on your hand and there's a little loop that goes over your middle finger?
Yeah.
Sometimes they do that in regular dresses too, but it's not as common. But I had a bunch of those. It's like a dramatic look you can wear. You know what's really
arms look longer
in skating fashion lately?
Hey, hold on. Hey, Ezer, play the ice skating drop. Ezer are still little. Okay. What's the hot fashion trend in skating right now?
All right. So, I mean, there's always sort of trends in terms of what you wear with like competition clothes versus practice clothes. A big competition clothes for women trend, and some men do this too, is wearing gloves, like performance gloves. You always wear gloves at practice. Almost everyone wears gloves at practice, but they're like standard, regular little gloves, right? It's very popular now to have gloves as part of your costume that are either, sometimes they will be a nude illusion mesh glove that covers your entire hand. I've seen that a lot. Sometimes it'll be like a specific color to match the dress, or like Yuzuru Hanyu, who's like the number one ranked man in the world at most times, loves to wear a glove, and they usually match like whatever color sleeves his outfit is. You know, it was really hip when I was like 15 and 16, the practice clothes that everyone liked to wear was they were really into wearing leotards and tights. So kind of like you were a gymnast, but you would have tights underneath. So no skirt or anything, just like straight up like a leotard. Sometimes you put like a shirt on top, but it'd be a cropped shirt. So it'd be like you're wearing a bathing suit bottom almost, but with tights that would then, you know, go into your skates. That was the hip look for a while. The hip look for practice clothes now is that people like to wear these leggings and these tights for women that go, they don't fully cover your skate boot, because there's like one type that does that, the over the boot thing, goes literally over the entire skate to like make your leg look longer.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Instead, there's this new one where it goes like halfway over your skate, so it tucks underneath the heel of the boot. And like, so your toe part of the shoe is out, but everything else is covered by your leggings. It also elongates your leg, but it's kind of a weird look. I have some. I'll send you a picture of that, what they look like on skates.
That's what I would wear, I think, if I was a skater. Did you happen to catch the Olympic closing ceremonies?
I did not. Was there illusion mesh?
No, well, probably. The people calling it, I don't know what you call that, the announcers, was it Johnny Weir? Is that his name?
Yes, I heard that it was Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski. And I mean, I enjoy them for the most part. Yeah. They are very catty as commentators, I will say.
That's their shtick.
That's kind of their shtick, their personality, right? Yeah. And I feel like we've probably talked about this before, but like I used to train at the same rink as Johnny Weir, so I knew him growing up.
No kidding.
He's always been like that. Like he's always been a diva.
That's cool. Okay, well, we did it. We made it through another season. Ezer, do you have any, the season is over and we're 1 week away from a new season music?
No. I'm just going to say no. I don't want to look. It doesn't matter.
You got to put something.
Oh. Well, let's just hope that Craig gets upset because they'll... That's your surreal music. I feel like they're really trying to stick it to Love Island, Bachelor in Paradise, but it's not going to be good enough. I just hope against hope that they do not do a scripted, super meddled with Bachelor in Paradise.
Did you watch the preview?
Old. I watched some of it. I caught some of it. It seemed long, and I don't like watching them again, but I don't. I just, you know, talk about acting. No wonder Greg was like, of course I can go on The Bachelorette and be a second-rate actor. Look at all these Bachelor in Paradise people.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing it, right? It does look to me, I mean, the flashes they showed were, like, extremely dramatic. and very much looked like they were probably producer intervention heavy. I mean, you see that Aaron and Thomas are going to be going at it again. That's going to be a thing that happens for sure.
Yippee.
And I guess Becca Kufrin and Thomas might be a thing on the show.
Yeah, maybe.
That's something that might happen. I don't know. There's there's a lot of possibilities, and I'm partially excited and partially exhausted at the prospect.
Yeah. Well, they doubled the number of contestants, I think, that are participating.
Wow.
A really large group. But yeah, I'm kind of exhausted too, so we'll have to wait and see. I mean, they made a big deal out of the fact that it's been 2 years since we've had a Bachelor in Paradise, but it doesn't feel like it.
No, because we've had basically, I mean, there were breaks between these seasons,
yeah.
But it has felt like, you know, time is so sort of mutable now that it does feel like The Bachelor is constantly on at all times anyway, even when there is a break. So, yeah, when I saw the things that were like people being like, oh, so excited for it to start next week. And I was like, I'm excited, but also think of your poor podcasters. We're so tired.
I know we are. Yeah, I tweeted something about that. How tired we podcasters are.
Yeah, like now we've got all this material we're going to have to cover too. And you know it's going to be dramatic. But I do think overall that I generally prefer Paradise to the main season.
No question.
So it's going to be an enjoyable watch, I think, for the most part. I am intrigued about, since, you know, there were all this news had already come out that Brendan from Tayshia's season, who left, the divorced hot guy who left because he wasn't ready to get married, has been dating Piper from Matt James's season. And we all know this because it's like on the internet everywhere, but they're both on Bachelor in Paradise. So I'm assuming that's where they met.
That's horrible. Then they just, they're not allowed to go out in public. Then that's, spoiler alert, you know,
like very weird.
Not,
I'm like,
not from you, from the internet.
Yeah, how did they let the news out that they were together? Usually they try to keep that stuff so quiet. So it was surprising to me that it was like, oh yeah, they've been spotted apparently like multiple times. It's like a well-known thing that they've been dating. It's odd to me, but they were both in the previews to a certain extent, so I'm like, I know they're on it.
There's like a second tier feeling to Bachelor in Paradise, despite it being, you know, it's kind of like what you, the treat you earn at the end of the year after sitting through both the Bachelor and Bachelorettes. But there is, they should treat it like a first tier system, because you should still, you know, do what the Bachelorette and Bachelor have to do, which is hide your relationship until the finale.
Right.
I mean, you'd hope.
Yeah, that so is it what it's supposed to happen,
cheap.
Right?
Yeah,
it makes like, it so cheap. Keep it quiet until the thing airs, where either you leave or the whole season's over or whatever else occurs. So we'll see, I guess. But it looks like, you know, there's going to be some old favorites there. The first week's guest host is David Spade.
Right.
And apparently the next two are Lance Bass.
What the hell? Just celebrities, just whatever. It's like, you know, when The Office lost Steve Carell, you're like, can you throw more spaghetti on the wall? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. There's no rhyme and reason to any of these hosts.
I guess connecting tissue is that these are all people who are celebrities who watch fans. The show, I guess.
Yeah, they're fans.
They're fans, celebrities, which but, like, is something. Yeah. But
there needs to be hosting capabilities. You know, there needs to be, I mean, but they don't, I don't know if they do it. They don't do anything on Bachelor in Paradise. I don't know. I feel like there's, if they have to over control and then they don't do a good hosting job, and then we're also watching things that are manipulated, it's like the show is lost at sea, and I don't know what is. I get anxious, like a bad anxious, which is not good.
It's confusing. I think it's hard to fully tell from that preview, but you know, like Little John is on there, and I think he's probably also a celebrity host, is my guess, which is an interesting choice. Yeah, I kind of feel like, why didn't they just keep Caitlin and Tayshia for this? Because it's a lower lift even than The Bachelorette.
Right.
And so I'm like, yeah, all you really do is you greet people when they come onto the beach on that first episode, and you do the, like, the introduction to the rose ceremony kind of
stuff. It's because Caitlin can't put her face changes into the direct sunlight.
Craig, we've talked about you and Caitlin's face. Fashion with Caitlin's face. Also, you know, she could wear a big sun hat if that was a concern.
That's true. That's true.
And the rose ceremony parts happen at night, usually like inside one of the palaces.
Yeah, that's true. She could just stay indoors during the day.
Yeah, like you could have Tayshia do any sunlight greeting if that was a real concern. So yeah, I just don't know because they're back.
There's no host. Right, but there's no hosting necessity. You just have them come down. Hi, remember me? I'm from blah 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 season, and I'll see you on the beach. And then you go down, and then there's a rose ceremony. There's no need for someone to be there except for like anybody, you know.
I mean, yeah, they could do it the way that Love Island US and UK does it, which is the text messaging thing, right? Where they have phones that are, they cannot dial anything other than, you know, the producer sending them texts, right? Like,
right, and they can take pictures
on their phones that they can then later post on their social media when they get out and stuff like that. But that's how they do, like, the vast majority of their hosting. The host is so rarely on the actual show of those because they just send them a text to be like, time for ceremony, you know?
Right.
Or the host comes down and it's a surprise and it's fun and...
Yes, and then it's like, oh no, somebody's going to get dumped because the host is here, you know?
Yeah,
the host is bad news. There's an easy way to kind of do a somewhat hostless season, which would be something like that. Like, you basically just have them receiving messages. They could even do the same, it doesn't have to be text, it could be, you know, an envelope appears mysteriously and a cast member reads it out.
I feel like it's a subtle way to get us to miss Chris Harrison. Not that we do, but in a way to be like, see, we needed him. See, they're not doing as good. So it's like a way to get us to like regret the fact that he's gone because it feels like a punishment. It doesn't feel like a sincere effort to create like a better Bachelor franchise.
Yeah. And I still don't miss Chris Harrison, even with the unevenness of hosting.
Well, I miss
a
host.
I preferred Caitlin and Tayshia to Chris. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. I miss a authority figure host. Mm. Someone who can steer the plane.
Because is that because Tayshia, you have abandonment issues easier?
Why would that be if I don't have abandonment issues? But it's like, yeah, I don't...
We would never tell you we loved you and then just leave.
Right.
I don't like... They weren't, Tayshia and Caitlin could not steer the conversation. Caitlin actually did it correctly with Greg and Katie fighting. But up until that point, whenever there was a disagreement or anything happening, they were not good at like keeping things in place or getting us back to what the issue was. Or even like what bothered me about Chris Harrison is that he would pick a side, which is what a host should never do. So I'm glad he was cut because he was like too deep into whatever Bachelor Nation wanted him to be at the time, right? He would always be against whoever the bad guy was or whatever. But I do miss some kind of captain.
Our listeners might remember a time when EZR was like, our podcast episodes should be 45 minutes or 50 minutes, no longer.
Are you seriously blaming me when the fashion and everything else went on for so long? Why do I always get blamed for all the things that I should not? This is not on me.
No, it's absolutely on me. I'm the one who's always
there.
Like,
was the ice skating
thing we need to discuss?
Yeah.
Well, Craig, the last person, you know, Craig, you need to direct your comments to the right person.
I'm not being a good authority host.
No, you're being the like parent that walks in and goes, who made this mess? And the first person that doesn't look at them is like the the bad parent.
Yeah. Okay, look, we gotta go.
Or, the parent blames the person who's usually the troublemaker.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Follow us on social media at Bachelor Masters. Leave us a review on the Apple iTunes app. We'll be back next week for Bachelor in Paradise. And make sure to watch F-Boy Island on HBO Max.
Sponsored by
Love Island on CBS.
Yeah, watch Love Island. Talk with us about it.
Love Island UK on Hulu.
Oh, watch it on Paramount Plus. Get them sweet, sweet 3 months.
Alrighty, see you next week.
Oh, bye.
Bye. Will and Kira.